This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 653, recorded on July 24th, 2025. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. I haven't watered my lawn in a month and a half. We've been getting rain like every other night, which has been really, really nice. Problem is, grass is growing so fast, I'm mowing it twice a week. So if you miss the middle of the midweek lawn mowing, you get a little bit behind. It's okay. I can handle that. That is just fine. We did have a tree come down last Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday. We had a big limb come down on the house. Fortunately, no damage to the roof that I could see. Tree neighbor Josh, who's actually a listener, he listens to the show from time to time, he took it down for me. Appreciate that, Josh. Thanks for coming over. It's great to have a neighbor who's a tree guy, especially in an old neighborhood with a lot of trees. He's actually out there trimming some trees for my neighbor right now. And so we took that down, but beautiful weather. In fact, maybe some storms yet tonight, although if it hasn't rained by now, it's probably not going to rain. Of course, we'll post the show. There's going to be a ton of links tonight. So everything I show, I'll have a link for out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. If you join us over there on Patreon, you can do that as well. And you can do that by going to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. And we have one $5 plan. You can do it for 1 month or as many months. It's actually easy to get in and get out. Don't feel like you're trapped. Many of you just do it every single month. Thanks for doing that. That helps me. You'll see with some of the solar stuff, that helps me do some of that. Helps me make some of those purchases and appreciate that. Share that back with you and appreciate you for doing that. Don't forget, you can also use the affiliate links. And many of you have been doing that over the last couple of weeks. I appreciate that as well. Head over to theaverageguy.tv. You'll see a red, click this link or click through this link. It'll just take you to Amazon. And then theaverageguy.tv will pick up that affiliate relationship, set the cookie, and we're in business as you're making the purchase. Appreciate you doing that. Again, just head out to theaverageguy.tv, upper right-hand corner. Big thanks to Dave Hamilton, who joined me four weeks ago. And so Dave, thanks for coming on. Big thanks for giving me 3 weeks off. I was going to take two. And then last week we had some stuff going on. I just said, I'll call in sick for last week and should be back in the seat for the next 6 to 10 weeks. I think we'll get some stuff lined up, get Weger back. Aaron's joining me. Gavin's next week. Aaron joins me the week after that. Dr. Brian Freelander the week after that. So we got some things booked, but big thanks to Dave who joined me from Mac Geek Gab. If you haven't listened to that, head over there. They do a bang up show. They're live. I think on Fridays, something like that. Check that out today. It was good to see John Biggs in person, IRL. A week ago, Monday, John showed up at my place. We had dinner together, made steaks and mashed potatoes. It was pretty delicious. I think some roasted broccoli, I think, was also on the menu that night, which was one of our favorites. And Jondra was driving out from East Coast to Colorado to deliver a Tesla. Got a little drive in a Tesla, which was kind of cool. I've been in them before, but it was nice to see some the hands-free or full self-driving. There we go. Full self-driving mode on that. John, thanks for coming out. It was good to see that. Good to see the car do that. And still a lot of fun. So, John, thanks for coming to see me. If you're in the Omaha area, it's hard. I don't get a lot of folks that stop by. But if you do, give me a ring and we'll see if we can get together lunch or something along those lines. Anyways. Okay, we're talking solar power tonight. I got to tell you, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, it actually kind of started, I should say 3 weeks probably. It started with Prime week now, right? It's all week, Prime-ish. And I got an email. I think it was Honey, one of those services that I use, right? I got that said, hey, you've got some deals that you've been watching. I've been keeping an eye on eco-worthy solar panels. And I wasn't even considering doing solar for a long time. Didn't think it was something I wanted to do. Didn't think, it's to be honest with you, every time I do the cost calculation, and tonight I bought a lot of stuff up front. So it's going to take me a million years to break even on this thing. Let's be really, really clear on that. You know, some tools and some wiring and some connectors. I had to buy a new electrical outlet. I bought a breaker for it. I'm going to have to buy another breaker for the back. So there's some upfront costs. The good news is all that stuff has really come down in price. Like it surprised me when I first started seeing the price on solar. So you have to, this is going to be for me 100% DIY. I'm not paying a contractor to come in. I do all my own electrical work. It's going to be a fairly basic setup to get started. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time. For the next 6 months, I'll probably spend a lot of time testing it. One of the goals of it is I bought just two panels to get started. I'll show you those here in just a second, but, two panels. I want to test four or five areas around the yard to say what gets the best, where's the best location for solar, or is there a best location for solar? Some of the spots I've been keeping track of with the Ring Cam. So in the backyard, I got the Ring Cam set up so I can see where the sun is shining. And on a day, I kind of look at an area and say, when does it start? And then I go through the video. When does it stop? Mark that down, right? Go to the back of the yard. I can see that too. When does it start getting full sun? When does it stop getting full sun? That's one way. I do want to kind of, I'm going to test it with these panels. I've got two areas out front, an area on the side, and two areas in the back that I want to try this out on. In the back, one of the areas is on top of a pergola, which I haven't built yet. And Sarah's been asking me to put a cover on that part of the patio. By the way, TJ, if you've been following us in the Discord channel, TJ documented his work through on a wind sail that he put up, a sun sail, basically over his yard. And that was fun to kind of watch. So TJ, thanks for going through that. You can join our Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. It's very manageable. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't want another group, that group's pretty manageable. But TJ put those pictures in there. TJ, appreciate that. But what I wanted to kind of do is try these different locations. Again, two out front, one on the side, two in the back, to see where can I get max solar panel or max solar power, right? There's going to be sunny days and on sunny days, I'm going to try and go maybe 2 weeks in each section. We're past solar max for the year, right? So the sun is at its highest point or was at its highest point, middle of the month. As I get into fall, I'm going to need to keep track of those angles a little bit to get max solar. But I think that's okay. I think we'll get that figured out. Like I was mentioning, one of them will probably build a pergola, a little pergola in the back to put the panels on top of. They'll work both as kind of a roof and then collect solar power. And I've also had the idea, and I got this from a YouTuber, of you can pick up relatively cheap used solar panels that are still, they're tested, validated. They're not 100%. They might be 70, 60, 65, 70, but they're pretty cheap, right? They're just try not to recycle them, put them in somebody else's hands. I've got some areas, you know, like I took a tree down in the side yard and the side of my house is just getting blistered now in that part in the afternoon. That might be one of those areas where I actually find it a kind of, instead of putting insulation on the side, it's like, you know, the basement wall on the outside, I'll mount some solar panels on there and let that take the brunt of the afternoon sun, knowing it's not the best, but it keeps the heat down on those walls. And at the same time, getting some solar power on it. So depending on the price, you know, I just have to see how it goes. Okay, let me share my screen with you, and we'll dig in a little bit here. I'll give you an idea of what kind of kicked the whole thing off. And was I got this alert for these EcoWorthy 200-watt bifacial solar panels. There are two panels, 100 watts each, 18 volts to these. It says 12 volts. It says here 12 volt, 24 volt. That's the battery going in. These are 18 volt panels. They make them in both 12 and 18. These are 18. They're bifacial, which means the back isn't covered. So if you have reflections coming from the back, that can also capture solar power. So you can get to 15, 20, 30%. The power from behind, if you have a reflective surface a lot of folks in the winter, if you think of snow, very reflective surface. It always surface here in Nebraska after a big snowstorm, it always gets super sunny right after that. You have a day or two of very, very sunny weather. And so of course it's going to reflect right off that snow right into the back. So in this case with bifacial, actually it pays to get them off the ground a little bit. Like, I'm not going to mount them on the roof. The goal is to ground mount them and have them, you know, two to three feet off the ground and the look at where they can get that reflective, you know, the reflective sun from behind it. In this case, these are $131 now. I think they have a coupon for $13. So that takes it down to, you know, $115. If you got them, I got them for $99 and that's 50 cents a watt. And so I was kind of, that's kind of, you know, how we were talking about hard drives the other day. And I was like, you know, that dollar a terabyte is kind of where I want to be for hard drives. By the way, they've blown past that a little bit. It had come down and now it's going back. I think it'll come back down again. But for solar, for me, that 50 cents a watt kind of makes, it's kind of the break even point for me in what I'm doing. Like I mentioned, I'll show you some of the tools we picked up on this, some of the gadgets I picked up to do this. It's going to take me a while. I spent a couple hundred bucks on infrastructure pieces for these panels. But I want to start this way. Two panels. When I put them together, they're 4 feet wide and 3 feet high. So it makes a nice three, four, five, you know, if you're into angles, 3, 4, 5. And, with the hypotenuse being 5, of course. So, these are sitting in the garage, ready to go. I haven't hooked them in yet because I've had some wiring that I needed to do to get it done. Picked up a couple tools. Now I'll be honest. I had these tools before and, or I have tools like them. But I wanted to give it a chance to give it an upgrade here. And so in the process of that, I didn't have this one before. When you're doing solar, and they use, well, you can't see it here. Let me see if I can, let me go back. Let me stop sharing here for a second. We have some MC4 connectors here. And inside is a metal sleeve that you hook onto the wire. Then you push those into the end of the connector and they snap in. Then they snap together, right? To get that to work, I'll reshare here with you. To get that to work, you kind of need this crimping tool here that you have. So never heard of this brand before. In fact, Craig makes a version of this, Craig Tools. If you guys are familiar with that, they make those, you know, those attachments you put on wood and you can kind of drill into them to attach wood pieces together at angles. Screws. Craig makes a version. They were like $60. No, $50 for those. These little cheaper. So about $15 for this crimping tool. It's ratcheted, so you put the connector in on the wire together, crimp it down, ratchet it a few times. It crushes it together and you make the connection that way. So I bought some new crimpers, which I hadn't had before. And then I picked up a pair of wire strippers. Now, these are self-adjusting wire strippers. Again, I paid $15 for them. When I buy a different pair now, I've tried them a couple times. They take a little bit of getting used to. I'll leave the links for all these in there. Was this an okay pair? I need to work with it a little bit more. I haven't used automatic wire strippers before. I usually just strip it myself. And if you do any electrical, you know, you got one of those. It's got a cutter and it's got some holes that you put it on the wire and twist it around and then pull it off. You can do it that way. I thought this would be good because these cables that I'm using are heavily insulated, double insulated in some cases because they're outdoor wires. I thought it would be better if I had a pair of strippers. The verdict's still out on these strippers. Been trying them. They go from 10 to 24 gauge on the wire. Everything I'm dealing with is 10 gauge. And so, you know, again, the verdict's still out a little bit on whether this was a good deal or, you know, it can, that stuff can make all the difference, but, I won't even try to pronounce the, you know, Hastronica. There we go. Hastronica is the name of it. Buyer beware on those. They're okay. The Klein, is that what I said? those Craig tools, they're at 50, they looked a lot better. I was just trying to avoid, at this point, I was like, do I really need them? I may go back and buy those. So we'll have to see. So picked up a couple tools, needed the crimper, probably didn't need the wire stripper to make it work, but I got it anyways. The cabling that I'm using, and there's all kinds of different brands when we think about PV wiring for solar in general. For the voltage, the wattage and the voltage I'm running, 10 gauge is kind of the minimum. I should probably at some point, depending upon what I do from a panel perspective, I might need to go with an 8 or a 6 gauge wire at some point. 10 will work for me for now. About $1 a foot on this. So a 30 foot section of wire. By the way, 12-2 wire that you would put in your house, you know, Romex, $1 a foot. So that seems to be, I just bought a 50 foot roll and it was $50. I paid 45, but let's just say $50 to make it even. So those also running about a dollar a foot. And that's 12 gauge wire instead of 10. Okay. So you can see the red and the black, no ground when we're talking solar. There's some grounding you can do and probably should do when you put the panels out. But for now, two wire setup. You're seeing MC4, like these aren't technically true. MC4 is a brand, not technically true MC4. Folks on the internet, you always find like some folks love these, some folks hate them. They say these burn down your house. You have to use the real ones, whatever. We'll find out in that process and keep my eyes open on that. I did end up picking up 90 feet of this wire. So three of the packages I showed you earlier, they come one end stripped so you can push it through holes, move it into a box. I'll show you that box here in just a second. Good to see both Randy's here, Randy Black and Randy Walker, both checking in here. Appreciate you guys coming out tonight. So they give you the other end that you crimp on. So I appreciate that because I couldn't have gotten with the connectors on it. I couldn't have gotten it through the places that I need to get it through. Working on that now to get that done. So the plan was, I don't know how you would handle this. By the way, I'm telling you all this because I want you to dialogue with me on it. Maybe not here on the show, but if you want to send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. If you got some experience in this or want to give me some pointers, drop it there in you can drop it here in chat on the live show or drop it in the chat on the YouTube channel. If you got some things you want to say, I'd love to hear from you on this. I'm learning a ton. The whole goal for me was to learn on this. I bought small. And so I think like when I'm doing the wiring setup, I'm not cutting any of the wiring yet. If there's extra, I'm just going to roll it up, stash it somewhere where it's kind of protected until I kind of figure out what I want to do, the space where it's going to go. If I go in the backyard, I'm probably going to need another 30 feet. I'll probably put that in conduit, where I put it, or I should say maybe when I go to the back, when I do it on the pergola, I have enough wiring to do that now. Out front, I'm probably good. I'm probably good out front. I'm going to try some on the porch and in front of the porch and see if I can kind of conceal it in that way. But so that's the wiring that's in there. And you can, this is pretty, what I'm finding, this is pretty average guy setup stuff. Like so far, pretty easy. Brian says, are you planning to take some video of it as I install these? Probably not initially. I'll probably shoot some pictures. We'll talk about it on the podcast, Brian. There's some great videos on how to install this stuff on YouTube. And it's always been one of those things because I'll just probably point to there's other places that do this. And we'll talk about it. You know, we'll do it in Home Gadget Geek style. We'll talk about it. Have some, you know, discussion around it, so to speak. But So appreciate that question. Okay, that's the wiring. Sorry, I'm trying to read chat at the same time too, a little bit harder. One of the things that I recommend, Brian, hang tight. I'm sure we'll come back in. I'll have some pictures we show. Maybe I'll shoot some video as well. It's not that exciting, just to be honest, but it is kind of fun. I like doing it. I'd encourage you to give it a try too. One of the recommendations on the solar is to make sure you have a cutoff between your battery or your MPPT controller, whatever you got coming in, and what's ever going out to the panels. And so I picked up a $25, 30 amp, 1000 volt, which will do just fine for me. I can kind of grow into that. Initially, I won't be throwing near the voltage or the amperage at it, but I wanted to make sure I had something pretty beefy to get started in case stuff came through that way. Eventually, when I'm bringing more power in, this will fit the bill for that one as I kind of figure out, you know, you can see there's all kinds of different, you know, you go up to 400 volt, 10 amp, a 400 volt, 20 amp. You know, today I actually, well, 1000 is probably the right way to go. I need more than 500, but I don't need as much as 1000. So this 30 amp and actually both the battery that I have. So in some regards, the battery I have, won't take any more than 20 amps. So this is probably a little bit of an overkill for now, but it'll be fine. For now, I'm using as kind of an on-off switch. It's a breaker built into the battery that I'm using as well. So little breaker box. These are easy plug in setup. It actually came all put together. I didn't need to do anything with it, which was kind of nice. Plugged it into the wall, hung it up. And that's, I'll use that kind of as a breaker box in between. As I get to the point where I evaluate a more permanent install, I'll spend some time calculating out what the loads are and what I'm protecting to make sure I get the right breaker for the right space. At some point, I'll have this kind of voltage coming through, this amperage and voltage coming through. Not today, but I'll grow into this. I'll use this. I'll continue to use this going forward. So another $25 when you think about setup costs. One of the things I wanted to measure then too is the power will be coming into my Blue Eddy AC180, which has a 500 watt MPPT controller for solar. And so it can take up to 500 watts at 20 amps and 60 volts. It's kind of the limit on that, which is actually kind of small. Most of the newer batteries are more in the 1000 or 1500 watt controllers now for the charge. The next battery is probably going to be a little bit bigger if I'm going to go that route. So it's going to have all that. But what I wanted to do is prove to myself that it was actually making a difference on the solar power that was coming in, and that the Blue Eddy indeed has what they call solar priority. So it's the ability to draw from the power that's coming in from solar first, and then draw from the grid next, and then draw from the battery third if it needs to. And, if you're using in an application, the battery's just the backup. You want it to pull from the grid if it's not pulling from solar. You don't want to keep charging your battery up and down, right? So, so I'll be testing that with these Tapo. They're TP-Link smart plugs. They're 15 amp, 1800 watts, so they won't burn up in the process of doing it. Got a 10 pack for $20. Again, I'll leave that link in the chat or in the show notes. And so $10 each, and I'll put it in between the battery and the wall. And I should expect when the solar power kicks in, the power pulling from the grid should go down. And that's why I bought these. I wanted to see that happen in real time. I also kind of wanted to know what I was pulling from the grid. I get that from the battery, but I don't get any like longevity reporting on it, right? I didn't get any days or months or weeks, and the Tapo app gives you day, months, years. And so kind of cool to see how much is this plug pulling. It's like the old kilowatt meter, except I think a little better, to be honest, and a little cheaper from that standpoint. I bought two of them. I put one in the shed. I also wanted to see, got air conditioners. I have two air conditioners that I really want to test in real time of what are they really drawing when they're on? It's going to help me size some things up from a battery perspective. At the end of the day, the goal would be nice. Like in our garage, I could have enough solar power to run most of an air conditioner that just cools down the garage, because our garage gets pretty hot. It's not conditioned space. I've got a fairly efficient window unit that I bought when the power went out last year. And the goal would be to run that window unit in the garage just to cool that space. It's actually sized for that space. It fits that space really well and would save me some cooling because I'm cooling the garage down, would save me some cooling in that. There's a room right above it, would add some conditioned space to it. And we could do it a lot faster. We've been opening the door when we want to cool the garage down, but because then we got to put a fan at the door and some of those kinds of things. And if I can get some solar panels on the side of the house and run, 800 to 1,000 watts in on the solar panel, think about it. When do you need that cooling? When the sun is the hottest, right? When the sun is out and the sun, in most cases. So I don't know if we'll get that done, but the idea is those panels would go into a 1500 watt battery. And then I would charge the battery with solar panels, come the rest off grid. And when we want to cool the garage down, hopefully we're using a good chunk of that from the sun. The other use case would be in the winter. We can turn those panels up a little bit to capture the winter sun, and they can run a space heater in there. Again, powered by the sun, that would be heating up that room during the day. So we'll see how that goes. Again, we're in a test mode, so I haven't bought any of those things yet, but these Tapo smart wall plugs, I love these things. And if you were doing, so far I've been using them for a couple weeks now. If you were using the kilowatt meter, this is a great replacement, a little bit cheaper on that one. So check that one out. Again, I'll have that link in the show notes. Live folks, sorry if I was not, if I had somebody here chatting with me, I'd be throwing the links in chat as well. But appreciate your patience on that one. So with solar panels, you can run them in parallel or you can run them in serial. And if you're going to run them in serial, that just means one plugs into the other, that plugs into the power. And or parallel means they're separately connected and they come together. Voltage and wattage changes based on how you hook them up. Spent a bunch of time learning that. Again, there's tons of YouTube videos that talk about that if you want to know more. But for parallel, I need these kinds of connectors. So I picked up some eco-worthy solar connectors. These are 30 amp Y branch parallel connectors. And so these will allow me to run basically the panels independent of each other. So if you have two panels, you're running them in parallel, one of them gets shade, it affects the other one. If you run them in, that's in serial. If you run them in parallel, they're separate. If one gets shaded, the other one is just fine, right? It's going full power. So I'm going to start running these in parallel. I picked up, they come in a bag. They look, we'll stop sharing on this one here too. Come back to you. They come in a bag, look just like this. I got four of them for $14. Guys, I've been kind of surprised. The prices on solar stuff has really come down. This was probably a $30 thing just maybe a year or so ago. EcoWorthy has been a great, they're kind of the budget friendly side of things with that. I brought the wire in too. So you kind of get this kind of shows you, when you handle it, you're like, whoa, that's pretty thick wire there. That's on that. So you can see the connectors on this end, blank on that end. And it's kind of heavy. It's a lot of wire. For $30. But I'll need these to run it in parallel. So I picked up a couple extra just as I was testing it as well. I needed to run since I'm running solar panels from the outside inside of the house, there's a bunch of different ways to be able to get this done, right? To get it into the house. You could do it however you want. What I chose to do is I actually have, and let me share my screen with you again. Actually, on the area right by my front porch, I have a power plug out there. Right above it is a 30 amp inlet for the generator that I've kind of abandoned a little bit. We could still use it. I moved that inlet to a 50 amp and I moved it around the back of the house to bring that in for whole house power. So I have 30 in the front, 50 in the back. I could run both. They're separate circuits. The 30 amp does not connect into the breaker box. The 50 amp has got the lockout switch so that I have to lock out the grid if I'm going to run the generator, right? So on the 30 amp side, right below the inlet for the 30 amp is a plug that looks just like this, except It's just the ones with a flat front door that opens up, right? It's waterproof or water resistant, but it's just got a, it just pops open. I've been putting the, we have some lights on the porch and I put the power plug in there and it leaves it kind of cracked open a little bit. And so I've been looking for a good excuse to, I've been looking for a good excuse to change that one out to get a little bit better. So this one, it's kind of nice to see in the picture. You know, this is just your standard outlet box, right? Coming through the back, but it's got a nice cover on the front. Lift it up and it opens. Oh, there's screws fell out. Opens up. You can put the plug in, then you can close that right over the top. Since it's in a rough spot up front, not a rough neighborhood, but a rough spot up front, it gets some stuff. I wanted a really hard shell, metal shell up front to be able to kind of protect that wiring. What we're going to do is run from the house. We're going to run into the back and I'm going to cut another hole in here and we'll run the solar into that and then drop it down out through the bottom. Oh, and I got some new plugs for that. I left them upstairs today. That'll come out the bottom, have a waterproof seal over that. Two wires will come out and then go to the solar. And so you'll see this still be able to get power out of this, have the solar coming out of that. I'll staple it or do whatever to hide it. At this point, I'm not going to make it too permanent because I don't really exactly know where it's going to go. So I'm kind of leaving my options open with it before I start installing, you know, things permanently. Kind of want to get some ideas. Okay, is this working? Is this the way I want to do it? That's a $30 outlet, which isn't bad actually for those kinds of outlets for full metal, we'll call it a full metal jacket that's out there. But again, another $30, right? When energy costs you 11 cents a kilowatt hour, it takes a little while to make up $30, just to be honest on that. But good little outlet came with the GFCI. Which is code here in Nebraska anyways for outlets that are on the outside or have any possibility of contacting water. Came with it. In some cases that GFCI is $20 all by itself. So it's a good deal to get those three together. So this is how it's going to leave the house and then go out to whatever. On the back, I'm going to do it a little bit different when I go out that way, but this, you need some kind of something to get it out of the house, protected and sealed up so you don't have those critters coming into your house. Finally, I talked about this a while ago. I realized I hadn't spent any time. I don't think I showed this to you guys, but for the generator, I picked up, the generator had wheels and a little, you know, like a little luggage handle. You could pick it up and roll it, but it wasn't quite, the wheels weren't quite big enough and it wasn't quite durable enough to get it where I needed to get it. And so I think I paid $100 for this wagon, on sale right now, 40% off, for $80.99. Great little handy wagon. If you don't have a wagon for your backyard, this one's kind of cool. The sides come down. If you need it, you can make it flat. Actually, my generator fit right in there. And then, I put the sides up, kind of locks it in, gets the generator off the ground and I can, like if I want to change the oil, it makes it a lot easier for me to change the oil from the wagon because it's got holes in it. The oil will drip through. If I make a mess, it'll drip through on it as opposed to one of those gorilla carts where now you got oil in the gorilla cart, makes it a little bit harder. So I picked up for the generator, I picked up a wagon, just like this. Brian out in chat says, love those wagons. They work for so many things. Yeah. Really, really handy. On this one, this is one I was glad. I was really glad it perfectly fit my generator. That was kind of cool. Got some space on either end, side to side. It's locked in, so pretty handy. And Randy, you never know. I'm probably as old as your parents, so I wonder if my parents could use a wagon like this. I think everybody should have a wagon like this. We actually been keeping that wagon in the garage. Both that wagon and I have a gorilla cart wagon, you know, traditional plastic, and you can lift up the one end and it dumps like a dump truck kind of thing, which is kind of cool to have too. Super, super handy to have those. So it's good. Yeah. I like those kinds of things. And yeah, if they've got a golf cart, Randy says, their golf cart or Polaris Ranger. Yeah, if you got some of that equipment, that works well too. I don't know if I'd want to keep my generator in either the golf cart or the Ranger full time. So it was nice to have a wagon like this to be able to cart it. The concept would be, you know, power goes out, I give it a few minutes. The UPS kicks in. I've got an hour and some change on the UPS here for the computers. So that kicks in. That gives me, you know, the clock starts ticking at about an hour. Now, traditional UPS, you're not getting an hour in a lot of cases, unless you have a giant one. This is where those solar generators kind of pay off, I think, when using them as a UPS. You don't have to have solar panels to even use them. You know, mine's just connected to the grid. And then go into the garage, pull the generator out on the wagon, pull it in the back. I have a buddy at work that says it ought to be on a roller coaster where you push it out of the garage and it goes around to the back spot and then locks in where it's going to stop. Plug it into the house, get it started, come into the house, switch the breakers, turn off all the breakers, switch it over, put the interlock kit on so that the grid power is turned off, plug it in, then start one at a time, turn the breakers on to get the house going again. That should take 15 or 20 minutes. So that's kind of the idea there. Would be nice, to be honest, it would be very nice if in the future, during a power outage, because it always seems like those days after a power outage are super bright and sunny here in Nebraska, if I could also augment some of that generator power with solar power. I don't think I'll ever try to do it 100%. That's a lot. It takes a lot of power. You know, your stove and some of those, you know, we're full electric on the stove. At least our hot water heater's gas, so I don't have that to deal with. I got a soft start on the air conditioner, so that's working out pretty well. But there's a few things, the dryer and the stove, those are the killers. On that, they take a lot of startup power. Most of the batteries can handle that. So, you know, if you're doing a battery backup in the house, they can handle that jolt of power when they kick on. I don't know if that's the goal for me. I think the goal is to replace 1,000 to 2,000 watts of power a day. Well, and that's not really true because I'm going to get 6 to 8. So at 2,000, that would be 16,000 watt hours. If I had 2,000 watts, it's a lot. 2,000 watts, a lot of panels to make it work. I shouldn't say it's a lot. It's not that much, to be honest, but yeah. So we'll see. Just in the beginning phases of this, and I'm not sure where it'll go. I may try this and then like, nah, there's just not enough sun still to make it worth it. There may be some, like I mentioned, there may be some strategy to trying to find some really good used panels to make it work and then put those in areas to protect, you know, that side of the house just gets blistered and it's not necessarily, you can't really see it from the street. I mean, you can, but if I threw some solar panels up in a grid, cover the garage with it or something, maybe collect some of that thermal heat, let it go into the panels instead of the radiating heat, let it go into the panels instead of right into the brick, you know, save me a little bit. So some thoughts going solar here. Love to have your thoughts on that. If you have any experience, to Brian's point, I'll shoot some pictures of it. I don't have any pictures yet because I've done very little. I've run the wiring from the solar generator up into the joists and out to the front. I need to, as you can see, I still haven't replaced the outlet yet. So that's coming next. I was waiting for those power outlet plugs to come so I could put those in. This wire is for the outside. I have to decide eventually, do I put it in conduit to protect it? It's rated for outdoor use. This stuff is whatever IP66 or whatever that is. So it can be outside. And it's kind of rated for that. So I've got some decisions to make. The real cool stuff hasn't even happened yet. Then once I get that set up and working, we get some sunshine on it. I'll run it 2 weeks at a time in various areas and measure it through the TAPO kilowatt meter. say, you know, what am I saving on it? What am I, what's working? Is it, it's even worth it? I know it's not worth it, to be honest with you. I know you're like, well, why are you doing it then? Well, because it's kind of fun, just to be honest. And I want to give it a try. Just like the AI stuff, want to give it a try. So we'll see. We'll see. Thanks for listening to all that. If you've got questions, comments, ideas, thoughts, if you want to warn me about things, I'm sure I haven't got all the power stuff right, but it's okay. I'm okay with it. But send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv, and I would love to go back and forth with you on that thing. It's been pretty great so far. It's good hobby to get into in the summer, and certainly while the sun is shining, for sure. Okay, a couple things on the way out here. One is, if you haven't done this yet, as I'm recording this episode here, it's July 24th. We're halfway through the Tour de France, as they like to say, the tour. If you haven't watched, I've been watching the extended highlight versions of it on YouTube. So 25 to 30 minutes a day. You don't have to be into cycling. I'm not a cyclist. It's kind of cool. All the stuff they have going on for that race, the drama, the wipeouts, the crashes, it's pretty cool. If you haven't checked it out yet, I got my buddy at work watching it. If you haven't watched a race or two, takes a little time to get into it, just to be honest with you. After you watch the first one, you'll be like, but as you get to know the players a little bit, and I've been doing this for 3 or 4 years now. I started a couple of years ago during the pandemic, watching the tour, really enjoyed it. And, so that has been in this, this is a thin time of the year for sports. The tour is a good one to watch. The ladies will be right behind it. I tried watching the ladies last year and I didn't make it all the way through. I'm going to try it again and see if I can get all the way through the tour. Their tour is only 8 days. The men's tour is 21 days. So it's a little bit of a trudge to get through it. But, if you're looking for something to do, need something to watch on YouTube, give it a try. Give the tour a try. NBC does the NBC Sports has the coverage of it. It's been super fun. TJ's checking in the chat room. He says, I have solar panels on the top of my roof. It does play havoc with the shingles holding in the heat on them. Yeah, TJ, I'm not going on the roof. I have a brand new roof, although the tree fell on it and scuffed it. That was tough to, when I went up there to cut the tree down off the roof, and saw it didn't damage them. It just kind of scuffed them a little bit. I was like, oh, these are brand new shingles. I don't want to mess with mounts on the roof. It'd be a great spot. I have a really nice southern facing roof exposure that's at a great angle. Like, it would be awesome for this. I just have a new roof and I don't want to put holes in it. So I'm not going to at this point. Randy's checking in. He says, yeah, it's been a tough week. We lost Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan. And I don't know Chuck. Who's Chuck? Randy, tell me who that is. I don't know who that is. But yeah, it's been for folks, us in the 70s and 80s, it's a tough week for sure with losing those guys. All right, friends. Want to thank you for coming out tonight. Good to be back. That's what's been keeping me busy over the last 3 weeks besides work and some other things that are going on, but I've been spending a bunch of time looking at solar. I'd love to get this AC180, this Blue Eddy AC180, accepts up to 500 watts. I'd love to push 500 watts into there on a regular basis. When I'm at work and all my stuff is running, all my computer stuff is running, it's about 500 watts. So in theory, I wouldn't, during the day when the sun is out for the most part, I get mostly 500 watts out of something. I can get 6 to 8 hours of that covered by sun power. Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. That's kind of the goal on this. Randy says that he was the world's greatest flugelhorn player. Well, there you go. And I did not know that. Things you learn on Home Gadget Geeks. So that's the goal. That's the goal of solar. See if I can get 500 watts. I probably will, if I go with the garage setup, So instead of buying one big battery for the house, I'll probably buy a couple smaller batteries that we power with individual setups on solar. I'll probably go with just a little bit bigger of a Blue Eddy that takes more like 1,000 or 1,200 watts in. And so we'll have to see how that goes. I love the AC180s. They work great. They're pretty good value. I think you can wrap it on this and you can tell me if I'm right or if I'm wrong. Actually, we won't know. But I think with the incentives for solar power and batteries ending, with solar vehicle sales globally being down and batteries in good supply at the moment, there are lots of battery stuff available out there. They're trying to repurpose those into other things, data centers and some of those kinds of things. But batteries are pretty plentiful at the moment. Getting new solar generators, Jackeries and Blue Eddies and EcoFlows and some of those prices during Prime Days, prices were great, right? To be able to get solar panels at 50 cents a watt, that seems pretty great. I think here towards the end of the year, as the 30% in the United States, it's the 30% incentive, 30% tax break phases out here at the end of the year. I think there's going to maybe be a rush. We might see the prices come back up a little bit. I think early next year, they may fall out, right? There may be too much supply. It's the demand just drops out for the most part. Again, there's already a lot of battery supply out there right now. They're not in short supply from what I hear. So those prices have come down. I think it may be a good time to think about this if you're being budget conscious. So that's what I'm thinking. If it doesn't happen, that's fine too. You know, I'm gonna kind of buy panels as I find deals on them, see how it goes. Again, the goal isn't to replace it. It's just to see if we can do it. You know, I've always been interested in it and some of that technology. So we'll give it a try. See how it goes. Shoot me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. If you want to join that Discord group, head out to theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Big thanks to Maple Grove Partners. If you are looking for hosting of just about any kind, Christian can set that up for you. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from folks that you know and you trust. You know Christian. For more information, check out maplegrovepartners.com. You can email me, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Just a reminder, we got Gavin coming on next week. Aaron is right behind him. And then Dr. Brian Freelander is coming on behind that. And we're scheduled out for the next couple weeks. So we should be back in the saddle. I'm going to do some more scheduling this weekend. And love to see you. Big thanks to both Randys, Brian, Joe, Ken, who's out here a little bit earlier, for joining us in the chat. And if you want to join us on a Thursday, we're at 7 p.m. Central now. 7 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. Love to have you join us live. I drank hardly any whiskey. I'll have to make up for that after the show. Thanks for coming out and being a part of the network. Good to see you all again. I'll do a little bit of a post show. With that, I'll say goodbye.